Good evening. Whoops. Are we live? We are live? Is it just that I can't hear myself? Okay, there we go.
All of you.
I'm going to take my jacket off. I'm not even sure why I wore it in here.
At some point, I'm going to need to get clarification from Gracie. I look online, and it seems like I have 21 neighborhood councils, and yet every time I...
No, you don't.
No, I don't. Why do I think I have 16?
You may have something.
But online it shows various neighborhood councils listed in different places.
Well, some of them are shared.
Oh.
Yeah.
Some of them are shared.
What are we going to do?
Because they'll be the one.
Oh, yeah. Then that helps me a lot.
Okay. All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners in the Glassell Park Neighborhood Council area. Today is the 12th day of July, 2017. If you're not on our mailing list and would like to add your name and become more involved with the Neighborhood Council system, please sign up on the table that's over to my left there, to the right of the clock. During the meeting tonight, we will discuss the items listed on the meeting agenda in numerical order unless I receive a request from a board member to take an item out of order. Copies of the agenda and related documents are available for you on the table, once again located to my left, over there to the right of the clock. If any board member has a conflict of interest at the time an agenda item is announced for discussion, the board member should identify the general nature of the conflict, indicate that he or she is recusing him or herself from participating in the matter, and leave the room during the duration of discussion of the item. Before we make a decision on any item, members of the public are provided with the opportunity to provide comments on the item under consideration. Members of the public who wish to speak on multiple agenda items shall be allowed to speak for a total of 5 minutes per meeting and may allocate time in 1 minute increments per item when the agenda item is called, or they may speak during the multiple agenda item comment period. During the multiple agenda item comment period, a member of the public may speak for up to 5 minutes on multiple agenda items. If you have a general comment on an item that is not listed on the agenda, then you may provide us with your comment during the public comments period of the meeting. Public comments should be directed to the board rather than to individuals. Please understand that there are applicable laws that limit the actions that we may take during tonight's meeting. Thus, we may be legally prohibited from acting on a concern that you expressed. However, note that your concern may become the topic of discussion at a future board meeting after we have had the chance to list the item on the agenda. Please fill out a speaker card for each agenda item you want to address so that you may be heard on any agenda item. You will be called by me when it's your turn to speak. Please be sure to place the number of the item or items you wish to speak about on the card or cards. Copies of the speaker cards are located once again on the table to my left, the one to the right of the clock. If you intend to speak on any item or items, you must turn in your speaker card or cards prior to the start of the meeting or prior to the call of that item. Please hand the speaker card to Mary, who is to my right. When a person is speaking, they are entitled to courtesy and respect. Please refrain from any other discussion in the room. If you wish to chat, then please take that discussion outside while our meeting is in session. We treat one another with respect. That means we act with civility and decorum. Competing viewpoints may be articulated without the need for inappropriate or uncivil actions. Last but not least, please switch your cell phones to vibrate or silent. Thank you. Mary, could we get a roll call?
Yes, sir. All right. Commissioner Schaefer?
Here.
Commissioner Atkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Derek Quiroz?
Here.
Commissioner Lippman?
Here.
Commissioner Sinclair? Absent. Commissioner Webby?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum. I don't see any indication that anyone has filed a community impact report or resolution on one of our agenda items. And I do not have any multiple speaker cards. So that takes care of items 3 and 4. Now, we do have one public comment card, and I think Mr. Camarillo has to leave. Therefore, if there's no objection, I'm going to move up item number 9 to be able to call Mr. Camarillo for public comment. Mr. Camarillo, why don't you come on up?
My name is Art Camarillo, and I was a former member of the Neighborhood Council for a number of years, until the last 4 years. And I've still been trying to stay busy, and I just want to bring the board to some of the changes that I've seen that they don't seem right to me, but it's up to you guys to see if you feel that they were adequate. The one item that I did not like, and I did write to Gracie, is the fact that they were requesting to remove the institutional, educational, organization, and faith-based to at-large. I felt that was a bad thing to do because it ripped apart, I think, the fabric of neighborhood councils. The at-large is anybody that has an interest in the community. What I've seen is that in faith-based, we used to have the churches together for cleanups, for food drives and stuff like that, and that's not happening, and there's other things. That's one item. And the other thing that I was a little concerned, too, is that when I was a board member, an organization came and asked us to pay for the newsletter. It was a local organization. They said, no, we couldn't because we could not promote another organization. Well, now the way they do it, they send a deal like a cleanup, and then they have the newsletter embedded in there, and the board is paying for it, and the organization gets the credit. The other thing too is that even when I was in the board, they used to be harnesses. We keep approving to purchase shovels and brooms and stuff like that for these cleanups, and those things disappear. And this has to be a better way to keep it. I used to keep it in the storage room, but we have a number of members that had keys that didn't sign up the loan slips. I think that should be either kept in a neutral place that is under control. And during this last election, we spent close to $15,000. And I got more votes on the last election that I ran than the whole group got this last time. I think that should be maybe a little closely more monitored. And then also the city clerk representative was here. I asked him, how do you verify that these people will qualify for business, education, institutional, and so on? And I said, all they have to do is show a business card or a letterhead. I said, in the past, we used to ask for a letter from the organization. To me now, with the computer world, anybody can print that. So we're not sure that representatives were representing the position that they asked for. So I just ask you, when you get a chance, to look at these things and check it out. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. We're moving to item number 5, having to do with our 15-year anniversary certificates. I have a card here from Alexia. That's fine, Alexia. Go ahead.
Realized that it was something bigger. I thought it was just a few people. who are ethical and people who are not. And I'm not going to tell you who in the room is person because some of you might know the answer, but I'm testing my point. So then I really wish that there was some way of holding people. If they don't want to go to the neighborhood councils, being on the board is work. And some of these people think they just want to sit there and give orders, and they do sometimes, but that's not the point. The point is finding out what the majority of the people in your community need, not what they want, what they need, and even if it's one thing, help them with that. Even if it isn't your culture, it doesn't matter, that's not the point. So I don't know if there's a way that the bank can assist with talking to people more, putting it on the media. I've asked the elected officials to do that, okay, so they can do that. So that people are aware of what they get into when they belong to a board, any board. And that's one of the reasons why many people leave, because they realize it's a lot of work, or they don't want to do the work. So leave the ones who want to do the work there and go and do something else. Way back when we had the plan, very few people know about the plan. Very few people have read it. So the plan at that time said, this is not a stepladder for you. But you know what? That has changed. Because nowadays, so many people on the boards use it as a stepping ladder. They do. That's what they do. So I do appreciate that we do still have neighborhood councils, because some of us do want to work and do want to help our communities. And the ones who continue to do it, it shouldn't be always the same people. I think other people should come on board. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alexa.
More than my 5 minutes, thank you.
I understand your point. I understand your point. And yes, I do enjoy seeing you at all the meetings you come to. Well, we have presentations to do. How are we going to do this? Is our normal start presenter going to start presenting?
Sure.
General Manager Lou?
Good evening, commissioners and community stakeholders. Gracie Liu, General Manager for the Department of Neighbor Empowerment. I'm so pleased today to be here to honor our neighbor councils in the East area who are celebrating their 15-year anniversaries. And, you know, we've been going around the city doing this, and, you know, each time, you know, I talk about the inspiration neighbor councils are to not only me, our staff, but our whole city and your communities too. I know the amount of work that you guys put in, and I just want to thank you and appreciate you, and I'm so happy that we can give out these certificates to honor you in this manner. At this moment, I would like to, we're going to go in the order that is on the agenda, but I would like to bring up the various NCs one at a time. But before I do that, I don't know if Commission President Schaefer or any of the board members would like to speak on to our neighbor council representatives that are here.
Commissioner Dorit Quiroz, this is your area, as I recall. Is there something you would like to say?
Can I do it from here?
You can do it from there. Just bring the mic close and say a few words.
So I would like to go ahead and say congratulations to the Eagle Rock Neighbor Council, Lincoln Heights, Echo Park, Boyle Heights, LA 32, which I learned is El Sereno, Historic Highland Park, Elysian Valley, Arroyo Seco, and Greater Cypress Park. It was not easy, but 15 years is here, and hopefully you guys continue to do the great work. It's voluntarily, unfortunately, but you do learn a lot, and you take a lot of pride in your community, so congratulations.
Thank you. Did you want to say anything?
And I must say that I've said before, this is one of the fun parts of being on the commission, and it's really been nice to be traveling around the city. We started down in the Wilmington area with this whole bunch of 15-year certificates, and now we're up here in the Northeast area. So we've covered a lot of territory, and it's really great to be able to see neighborhood council members, after all these years, coming out, still supporting their neighborhoods, doing what they need to do to keep things going. It's really a pleasure to see where we've all come to over the last 15 years. Very nice to see that.
Great. So with that, I see David Green from Eagle Rock Neighborhood Council, and I'd like to bring, and Susan too, and bring you guys up. And again, Eagle Rock's one of our star neighborhood councils. You see their amazing newsletter that goes out. They do wonderful outreach, and congratulations.
Thanks. Do you want us to say something? All right, I didn't write a speech because it would be another thing I didn't get paid for. My stepladder only goes down, just so you know. My stepladder is heading down there. I'm David Green. This is Suzanne Smith, who is our faith-based director. I've been on the Neighborhood Council. This is my fifth and hopefully final year of its 15 years. When I first joined the ERNC, the board was mostly white, mostly male, mostly over the age of 50. And I think consensus in town that the most ethical, most responsive, and the member with the best attendance was our temp from Apple One. Over the past 5 years, we've worked really, really hard in, to make the ERNC, to professionalize it, number one, and number two, to make it more diverse. So over the past 5 years, today, just to cut to the chase, the board's mostly female. Most everyone has school-age kids in our public schools. And we're also representative of the racial and sexual preference diversity of our neighborhood. Most people have day jobs. And it's not just for the sake of diversity, but to make our decisions better and to make them more, make us more responsive to the neighborhood, more representative of the neighborhood, more of what neighborhood councils were originally supposed to be. I guess I'll end by saying that hopefully in the next 15 years we'll end, we'll get a city government that is respectful of and responsive to the time and the energy and the intellect and the goodwill and the thoughtfulness of those board members we have on the ERNC right now. So thank you for this. We truly appreciate it, and we truly appreciate the hard work that Gracie does and that you guys do. We know it is not easy, and that's an understatement.
Never follow David. That's the first rule.
Yeah,
here's
your shirt. It didn't take 5 years. I mean, 5 hours.
Your pins, and we usually take a pic with the commission if you guys are
cool. So.
Wow, awesome. Pins. This is very exciting. This is so exciting.
Okay, it's a
pictures, right?
Do they have to get up?
You got a camera?
Yeah, I'm taking it up.
Somebody going to take a picture?
Somebody taking a picture?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, you don't want to
get up?
Yes.
Okay. Right. And you guys, sorry. Hold on. I'm sorry. I think I might be in the wrong order. Let me just check. Is that right? The right order? Okay, Lincoln Heights. Do we have folks from Lincoln Heights? Oh, yeah. Come on up. And again, Lincoln Heights, they're amazing. They did, they helped host Special Olympics. How cool is that? So I'm going to go ahead and have.
I don't know what we're supposed to say.
You can say, your neighbor council, anything that you guys are doing.
The first annual health fair.
Okay. You guys had.
Yeah, so I'm Vicky Montez. I'm area rep from Lincoln Heights Neighborhood Council. I'll be honest, I don't know what BONC does. So maybe that's part of the problem is I don't know how to make comments on any of this because I really don't know what your commission does. I didn't really know you existed until an incident happened around the election time. Maybe that's part of the problem. That's maybe what I would say as advice is that we need more information as to what Dunn does, what BONC does, who is BONC, support for us. We're all volunteers. I'm a teacher, but I need more to empower my community. I need to be empowered in terms of what we're supposed to be doing and what we can do. So I think more education would be helpful. Our neighborhood council is finally almost a complete board. I think we have 23 seats filled out of 24, I believe, and that's one of the first times I've seen that happen. I've been on the board for about 2.5 years. I was the elections chair. We increased our voters from 87 voters to about 400 voters, and so that was a big deal. We rebranded. This is our new logo because we felt like if people don't know we exist, then we can't help. So we rebranded and tried to reach out to as many community members as we could and have grocery bags and shirts so that you see it in the neighborhood so you say, oh, what do they do? And then Facebook has gotten social media we've tried to promote. So, you know, we're doing a lot, but we need a lot of support. It's Lincoln Heights is one of the more disenfranchised, I think, communities. People don't know how to advocate for themselves, and yet they deserve better. So that's why I'm on it. But definitely would recommend. I was looking through the agenda, like, I got some recommendations, but we need more of support. What do you empower us to do more? And we will. No, we don't need pictures. I'm the area rep. We need a new president. He's on his way.
We do like to take next pictures meeting. With you, but congratulations. Yay.
To Victoria.
Yes.
Pictures.
Do you want to do it?
You want to wait till yeah. Ben comes?
Yeah. Shifted everyone.
Really? Because the president will be here.
Oh, the president.
No, no, no,
will be
no.
Here.
No. Okay.
Vice president. President. Vice president, but interim president.
Okay.
Ben.
Oh, well, he's on the list to come. Okay. We can do pictures. You want to do pictures at the end with everybody if rotate?
Okay. That makes sense.
That means everyone has to stay. Okay.
Yeah. More logistics as well.
Okay, next up is Echo Park Neighbor Council, Richard, right? Okay, come on up, Richard. And Echo Park Neighbor Council, formerly known as Greater Echo Park Elysian Neighbor Council, but they've been doing amazing work in their community, recently did a tenants' rights forum, and with our NEA, John Darnell. So happy to turn this over and to tell us more.
Well, it's been interesting. Like the young lady in the back said in the beginning, this is all like volunteer, as you know. And Echo Park, we were in exhaustive effort. So I've been involved. My name's Richard Courtney for about 4 years, going on for right now. And to work with a board that was in exhaustive efforts and shut down, to a board right now that is functioning so effectively and really reaching out to the community. We ended up giving $18,000 for community grants through various sources. Our committees are working really well. Pluck, outreach, we are at the farmers market every week. Our elections as well have gone up like astronomically from when we were in exhaustive efforts to come together and to get people to actually partake. And our board has changed from a very combative board, which I'm sure everybody knows it can be that, to a board that works totally in harmony. And we may have disagreements, but we do come together at the end, and we all are really partaking in it. I think the rebrand of it from Greater Echo Park to just Echo Park, it works with the neighborhood as well. That's one of the most, I don't know, if it's under siege with developers. We've all come together with our pluck, and it's a very active pluck. Last night, we had about 60 people at our pluck meeting, which I'm on that committee. So come to the Lotus Festival in Echo Park this weekend. It's an awesome festival. We will have a booth there. Again, you know, partaking in community stuff for the elections. We were part of that town hall that they had for CD1. So overall, I think it's working with the bylaws now and really figuring out within our bylaws what our boundaries are. You'll probably hear from us soon because there's a few boundary issues that we're trying to clarify so that our stakeholders can be more united. But I thank you guys for everything you do. I might not come, but somebody does quite often. Darcy Harris, I'm sure you guys know, and you know, Tad has been involved for a while. But we're pleased to receive this. Thank you.
Those 15-year pins are really cool. Anyway. Next up would be Boyle Heights. Daisy, you want to come on up? Oh, okay. Come on, Jason. Come on up and tell us about what Boyle Heights do. I know there's been gentrification issues going on in your neighborhood, so tell us.
Hi, my name is Daisy Chavez, and I'm the vice president for this year's neighborhood council. This is my partner, Jason Gallegos, and he's our plug chair. I've been involved with the neighborhood council for this is going to be my second year. Been a longtime resident and advocate for that area. And we've been working with partnerships that already exist in our community. Boyle Heights has historically been the home of a very diverse group of Americans, and continues to be so. But we're also facing a lot of challenges, displacement of families from their homes, and also local businesses that we want to support, we want to partner up with. So we've been trying to partner up with a group of our community members that are not often engaged, like our senior citizens. They're active and they're there, and we just want to we know that we can be stronger with their support. We also want to partner up with local businesses this year so that we can also bring support to them. And like the lady who mentioned earlier on, we want to make sure that we are able to keep our own local leaders accountable, because there's a lot of work to be done, and we're all, most of us have day jobs. I'm a paralegal. I work in the field of immigration. But we love our community, and we want to see our community thrive. We understand change happens, but we also want that change to be fair. So we're very happy to continue that work and happy to be recognized today. Jason's kind of shy, but he's amazing.
Congratulations.
I think HHP and C, I know they mentioned that they might not be able to come tonight, so we'll take it to their board meeting and honor them there.
32.
Mm-hmm. Do we have LA32, Marsha? Not here too, so we'll take that up there, and then who's next? Okay, Oroseco Neighborhood Council. If you guys want to come on up and share with us all the excellent stuff that you guys are doing.
Hi, my name's Linda Valencia. I've been involved in Arroyo Seco for about 4 years now, and I'm currently the board president, and this is Tamara Rosenthal, and she was the past president, so you've got the two presidents here. I wasn't here in the beginning, so I can't take any credit for 15 years. I can say that we have an amazing board group, and we've gone through some pretty adverse times of late. We've lost a huge chunk that you all voted for to leave us, and it has created some challenges for us, but we're going to try to put it behind us and move forward. I'm a budget advocate, so you might hear from me again on some of the issues to do with that. But we are a great group. We have very diverse, and in many ways more diverse, because we have individual communities that are quite unique. And so the nice thing about neighborhood councils is that it brings us together. We do a lot of outreach, and we've been quite successful there. And I hope we continue in the future. And we have our pluck person here. Do you want to say anything, my dear?
Just that pluck is very active in the community, and we've had some really great successes this year. it's fun to – it's – rewarding, I'd say, more than fun, to make a difference in individuals' lives. We were able to help negotiate between a developer and a stakeholder because they were going to be blocking his view, and we were able to get the developer to actually sell the land to the stakeholder. And so, you know, little wins like that spur us on. And we, as Linda said, we've had a very tough year, but we are rebounding. And I think that we can use all of the help from both Bonk and Empower LA to help us do even more. So thank you.
I have one important question. I don't see 17 pins there, and we need 17. So. Okay. That's important. Believe me, they'll all look for that.
Yeah. Oh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have Arturo from Legion Valley of Riverside here. No? Okay, so we will bring that to them. And then Greater Cypress Park. Alexia, yay! Do you want to speak from there?
Yay.
Yeah.
She's easy to please.
This is all in one group.
What are we going to do?
The pictures with the remaining.
Oh, the rest of everybody?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we can go through the link.
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
Congratulations to all of our 15-year neighbor councils. Thank you so much for all your service, and thanks for coming tonight. I really appreciate it.
Go tell them what you're doing.
I know.
And how you're doing great things. Maybe.
No, I think it was better for them.
I got a 7-year-old grandkid.
Oh, Len. Lenny could be my dad.
Lenny could be my dad.
Hey, Dad.
I hate to tell you, I could be a lot of people's dad.
Can you buy us a house? Oh, man.
A Tesla will be nice.
And Ms. Weeby to come and sit down.
Sorry, I forgot to meet.
Okay. Thanks.
What?
Thanks, Gracie.
What?
Bye, Gracie.
Gracie, who's going to do your report?
We'll miss you.
Commissioner Webby?
Hey, Debbie.
What happened to our sound man?
I
want to
go home.
I think it's working.
Somebody drive me home.
It should be working.
1, 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Joy is going to drive me home.
Commissioner Webby?
Commissioner Debbie?
I think John
died. We're going to get started again. We're back at it again after all those. Is this thing up loud enough? Can people hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting nods of yes. I guess my head is still just a little stuffy. What can I say? Okay. Do we have any comments from any representatives from the mayor's office? Nobody from the mayor's office? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. We do have a card. Wayne, you want to come up?
Mary? He's got exactly 5 cards, so he will get 1 minute per card, except for public comment when he gets 3 minutes.
So this is for 1 minute?
For 1 minute.
It'll be 1 minute. Anybody here from the mayor's office? No, they don't care about this commission. Anybody here from the city council office? Gil Cedillo. Now that's a surprise. I mean, his office is right down here. See, Gil Cedillo not interested about this meeting. Other city representatives? No. See, they don't care about Bonk. They don't care about Dunn. See, the reason is because all of these people are in hiding, which I'm going to speak about in 9. I'm going to talk about why they're in hiding. But anyway, your mayor's a scumbag. Your city council's a bunch of criminals. They should all be arrested. And your city representatives belong in prison, and your city attorney, Mike Feer, needs to be disbarred and arrested for contempt. But other than that, they do a good job.
Okay. Moving on. Are there any East Area neighborhood councils who wish to speak at this time? You're part of the East Area. Yeah, you're considered. Well, we kind of combine East and Northeast, so you're part of it. I did get an email from Anne Marie Johnson from Silver Lake Neighborhood Council, who said that she was sorry this happens to be their board meeting night, so they couldn't be here. She did send some comments. I'm not going to read them, but we do have them, and I will get them to the department so that they can be included in the minutes if they wish to, or attached to the minutes. But they were comments about how they've got their board up and what they're doing, and some of the things they do as best practices. So she sent that in for us. No other speakers. We do have Wayne, who wanted to speak with regards to neighborhood councils in the East Northeast.
Yeah, because we're trying to alternate. All right, go ahead. I'll hand it off.
Yes. What is the best policy for neighborhood councils? The best policy is to get the $46,000 and spend it all. Give it to your friends. Give it to your nonprofits. Don't spend anything else except on your friends. Now, we have to come up with more ways to funnel the money because there's too many EE. And when you're on EE, you get an IO and then an EIO and then a DAO. And then what that means is that somebody, usually like Mike Bonin, the drug addict, oh, I'm sorry, a recovering drug addict, yes, recovering, we'll get the money to investigate your neighborhood council. Did you know that? So one day you'll be on EE. Let's hear it for EE, exhaustive efforts. EE, steal the $46,000. EE, yay, EE.
Okay. Where are we? Okay. Did you wish to say something from the budget advocate?
I'm not here representing.
Well, you can tell us where we are with it. I mean, you know, you've elected officers, you've got things started. Come on up. Come on up. That's okay. Just now, we had budget day, and a number of us were there, and there were elections. We got budget advocates,
yes.
And you guys sat down. You had your box lunch, and you did something.
Well, we have elected budget advocates for each area, of which I was just reelected. We are now setting up committees for everything, just as we've done in the past, and I guess they're going to do another white paper. We're looking a lot at the city budget, and of course there's many questions there, and we spent a lot of time looking at the DWP pay raises and things that happened and all those things. But I can't really speak for the as an authorized speaker because they didn't authorize me, and Jay Handel and Liz would not like it if I just spoke otherwise. So that's from my perspective where we're at. How's that?
I have just a quick question. When you say that, Commissioner Atkinson, when you say that they're setting up committees, do you mean those committees that the groups of people that go and visit the different departments?
Yes, that's what we're doing right now. Like I signed up for aging and for Dunn because I'm very interested in Dunn. And there was no one else signing up for aging. Since I'm starting to age, I thought that would be a good one to be involved in. So there you go. That's how I chose the committees I'm in. How's that?
Okay.
Okay.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. Is there a process being set up to make sure that the budget advocates and the budget reps stay in contact with each other?
I believe so, because we're very much reaching out to neighborhood council and asking for their reps, because we'd like two reps from each neighborhood council. And then as budget advocates, we're assigned neighborhood councils within our area. I'm assigned Actually, Herman is going to be one of the ones I'm assigned to besides Arroyo Seco, and I volunteered to do that. I live down the street, so what the heck. And then I do Greater Glassell Park also. Cypress Park.
Cypress Park.
So that's the other one I do. And we go in and tell them what's going on, get their feedback, get their input on things. So that's what we do. But they also have, their budget reps can also come to all of our meetings and be involved in committees too.
Okay, I only ask because we had kind of a lack of communication in our area last year. So hopefully that will improve.
I personally expressed some concerns about that myself.
Okay.
You've probably noticed I do that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Wayne, you're up for number 8.
So, see, nobody knows about the budget. The Lacers Board decided that its investment rate of 7.5% is a little high, so they're going to drop it down 0.25%. That means the city owes the budget this year to the pensions $38 million. And if they lower it to 7%, as the advisor required them to do, it would be $96.5 million. So again, the city is guilty of grand theft, extortion, misappropriation of funds, and they borrowed $1.5 billion against the police and fire pensions to paper over this year's budget. Now, do we have a district attorney? No. Do we have an FBI agent? No. Do we have the sheriff's department? No. So you're free to steal. So just go ahead and steal. But one day, they're going to lock these bastards up. Good job. I broke the story. David Zeinheiser took it and put it in the LA Times yesterday.
All right, moving on. General public comment. We've already had one general public comment. However, we move that up as a special, and so we're going to move it back down again. And now we're going to find out all the news that is the news. Wayne, you have 3 minutes on this one.
So I woke up this morning. I had two clients call me at about 6 a.m. this morning. Last night at 7 o'clock, City News Service said that I pled guilty to a misdemeanor on Friday, July 7th. It's absolutely, categorically false. The deal I made was an infraction for disturbing the peace and a $200 fine that was waived. Who did that? Mike Fear's office and his lead advisor, city attorney spokesman Rob Wilcox, did that to me. It did that to me. Now, my clients are saying I was convicted of a crime, which is exactly why I took the deal with these son of a bitches on July the 7th. I have a law license. It's very important that I remain crime free. And I was assured that this was an infraction, nothing more than a speeding ticket on my record. Now they have falsely publicized and published in defamation to my name and character that I pled guilty to a crime. So I went to the judge today, and I went to city deputy attorney. Yeah, see, that's why he wants to get up and leave. Yeah, I get the fuck out because it's criminal liability. See, that's how much your commissioners care about the community. They don't give a fuck about anybody. Now, an attorney that would take a deal, and that's a contract. That's an enforceable agreement, and the chair knows he's a prosecutor for a number of decades. All right? That's a fraud on the court. So where's the DA? Nowhere. Where's the FBI? Nowhere. Where's the state bar when I filed a bar complaint 2 months ago alleging that this was going to happen? Nowhere. They wrote me a nice letter back. It's it's prosecutorial discretion, all this bullshit. But you see, I got them now in their little pickle, and I'm tired of it. And I'm suing the city on two lawsuits. The answers are due at the end of this month on the 24th. Okay, you don't want me here at these meetings? And do what you do so well. Pay me the fuck off and get me out of here. Because now you're playing with contempt of court, and now this guy Eugene Hall, I don't know him from Apple, is risking his bar card now. And by the way, Rob Wilcox doesn't have a bar card. He don't give a goddamn. What does he care? He's not an attorney. But he's going to jeopardize the bar cards of everyone else that works for the city attorney's office. The rest of you guys got bar cards. Rob Wilcox don't have a bar card. He's openly gay. So the only thing that Rob Wilcox has to say whenever he does shit like this, they're anti-gay, they're homophobes. And then he'll hold one of those press conferences like Herb showing me with the lovely hood and the swastika. Look at the homophobic attorney. He's attacking me. I made a small mistake. See, you guys control the media. I don't. You guys have another weapon. You retried me in violation of double jeopardy and made it look like I got convicted of a crime. And that's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit. And I'm not going to stand for it. You guys shouldn't stand for it. You should do what the other guy did. Walk the fuck out of here, because I'm sick of Rob Wilcox. I'm tired of Mike Feuer, and I'm tired of fake news. And that bullshit that they did today is unacceptable on any level as an attorney, a prosecutor, or anybody that sits on this panel that has a bar card.
And do let the record show that at about 10 minutes after the hour of 7, Commissioner Lippman had to leave, maybe a family emergency. Mary, I understand that you're going to stand in also for General Manager Liu and give us a report.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. My name is Mary. I'm coming from the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment on behalf of General Manager for the General Manager's Report. We have a couple things. I have 5 things on here that I would like to share with the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners. For number one, we have a new fiscal year that has just started, so we are following up with a lot of the NCs to make sure their strategic budget packages have been submitted so that they'll have access to their funds. The new funding portal is now in place. That's many thanks to the city clerk, as a lot of the new treasurers and the second signers have gone through the trainings that have happened in this past month. We are still waiting on City Council to decide election timing, but City Clerk is already preparing for a no online voting election for 2018, since they were funded to do so. Our department is only funded a little over $100,000 to do citywide outreach, which will be a little difficult. City Council has created a new committee. It will be called Health, Education, and Neighborhood Councils, chaired by the council member David Rue and Vice Chair Gil Cedillo and Member Council President Herb Wesson. So we're actually in the title. Number 4, our staff is working on conducting NC-101s around the community, wherever NCs are possible. To assist with reaching underrepresented areas, we are conducting census trainings for this month as well, and we'll also be following up and doing a demographic survey of NC members in order to show the impact of NCs in terms of representation for their community. Last but not least, we'll start the recruitment for 5 new staff, and we'll receive in the fiscal year. That would be 3 project coordinators, 1 project assistant, and 1 executive administrative. That is complete for my general manager report.
Quick recap. That new committee with David Rue as chair, you said that was also
Gil Cedillo, did you say?
Yes.
And Herb Wesson?
That is correct. He is a member, the President Herb Wesson.
So Rue will be chair.
Correct.
Okay.
And Commissioner Wehby, just another question for clarification. Of the five new staff members, I'm sorry, I missed the last. Three project coordinators, one project assistant, and the last category?
Will be at one executive administrator.
Really?
Correct, yeah.
One executive administrator. Perhaps that's our executive assistant.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. That would be nice. Okay.
Commissioner Atkinson, I have a question. Because you were talking about getting all the voting procedures in place for the election, so I was concerned about something I heard earlier. Is there any kind of formal declaration of proof of identity? Are we involved in that in any way that, you know, for voting purposes, what people have to, is there a uniform way of what they have to show when they come to vote?
Mary Kim from Department of Neighborhood Empowerment, I specifically didn't get any updates in regard to that. We only are hearing in terms of when the elections will be, so we don't have any details in terms of that specifically. But if you would like me to go into it, I can ask further
Please
questions.
Do.
Yes, do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And one more clarification and then pass it on. I did hear you right that they have not funded online voting. Did I hear that correctly?
The city clerk is already preparing for no online voting election, correct, for 2018.
Okay. Commissioner Webby, did you have another question? I thought you saw you there.
Yes, thank you. In conjunction with this, the possibility of, I'm sorry, yes, I understand that the city clerk is preparing for the 2018 election. And do I understand correctly that that is something the city council then needs to decide on?
Correct. Mary Kim from Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. They're still waiting on the city council to decide election timing.
And is there any timeline for that? My secondary question has to do with bylaws amendments that were suspended because of this issue, and I'm wondering if we have any sense of when that might come on, when the decision might be made on that, so that neighborhood councils might be able to modify their bylaws.
From my understanding, when the election is on the day of the year of the elections, then other years that are not election years will be the years of bylaw amendment applications.
Thank you.
I have something. Commissioner Atkinson, I requested the general manager when you go back to the office, Mary. I'm also concerned about some other issues, and I always bring it up, about the leadership development of the new board of directors or people running for office ahead of time who run for office and they don't even know what they're getting themselves into. And I've asked for some kind of leadership, a plan for some kind of leadership development and leadership training. So could you please tell the general manager that I'm still looking for that plan?
Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions? Okay. No? And well, I assume that any actions with regards to neighborhood councils that have been in the rules, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, neighborhoods committee, will be transferred. What did you say was the name of this new committee?
The new committee will be called Health, Education, and Neighborhood Councils.
Health, Education, and Neighborhood Councils. because I know there's some matters that are in currently in Mr. Wesson's committee regarding neighborhood councils, and I'm imagining they're going to be moved. So Councilmember Rue is the person we're going to have to contact. Okay. Moving forward. Number 11, discussion and possible action recommending amendments to section 22.819 of Article 3 of Chapter 28 of the Los Angeles Administrative Code. That would be Neighborhood Council Subdivision Ordinance. We've just been looking for discussion on that. Haven't heard any generally from neighborhood councils. We do have a card. Before we get to the card, I'm still interested in getting together with the department and talking. I think there's some agreement with regards to the idea of this commission getting to see bylaws, changes, and boundaries, or bylaws and boundaries before the elections. There seems to be some thought that that would not be a disagreeable thing. So I guess this would be something that we would have to bring before this new committee to have them propose so that it could go to the city council so we could get an ordinance change. In the meantime, Wayne, you're up for number 11. Talk to us about the bylaw, about the
Go ahead.
You know, when
I'm so now that Rue is the new puppet, and now that you've outlawed online voting, redo the neighborhood council election for Skid Row. Because you know without online voting, it would have been certified unanimously by 90%. So why outlawed and not give General Jeff his chance? Why? Let's say it. R-A-C-I-S-M. Racism, racism. Yay, racism. Don't allow black people to vote. And if they do, get enough online white folks to drown out their votes. Just like they did after the Revolutionary War, and they fought on our side, and after the Civil War, all the way up to the present. Jim Crow never died, but what died was the dream with the bullet in the head of MLK.
Okay. Doesn't look like a lively crowd. What this next item involves is discussion and possible action regarding recommendations to the commission related to neighborhood council funding. Now, I have to apologize to the commission. I had hoped to have time to get together with General Manager Liu and with Mike Fong and talk about putting together the this working group throughout the city, getting people from the 12 election regions. Unfortunately, for the last 3 weeks, I have been somewhat under the weather and haven't been getting out and haven't been doing much of anything. Happy to report that I am back, I think, amongst the living and feeling human again. So I will be getting down there to talk to them. But we'd still like to get any thoughts from neighborhood council people with regards to what we call this equitable funding. In other words, should all neighborhood councils have the same amounts of money, or should there be some system by which the pot is divided in some other way to accommodate large and small neighborhood councils? So we'll continue, I think, to have this on the agenda. We do, of course, have a comment card on this.
Excuse me. Unless
one of the commissioners wishes to say something.
Excuse me, President Schaefer. I'd just like clarification on 11.
On 11.
Yes. I'm sorry if I missed something that you
okay.
noticed. Because of what we have heard about subdivisions and what we went through previously with Harmon,
yes.
there are notes that I have regarding subdivision, and you'll let me know if this is the appropriate time to share those or if there was some other format for...
No, if you have thoughts, that would have been the time to yeah. If you have thoughts with regards to what might be done, that's why it's on there for discussion and possible action. If you wish to give the board your thoughts, that would be fine.
I would like to. Thank you. There are some themes that were continued in the information that was brought to us either at our BONC meetings or during the times that we were actually hearing subdivision. And the issues that spoke clearly to me were problems with boundaries not being defined and specific, or at least in the perception of those who were faced with the boundaries. And it seemed most clear that not the entity that wanted to subdivide, but the larger neighborhood council or any area that would be affected by the subdivision, that there seemed to be a great deal of confusion about what the actual boundaries were. What I was hearing is that there was an understanding of the voting process, but only that it was a yay or a nay to subdivision, but not understanding that there were actual boundaries that were set, and that if there was a vote for or against, let's say for, then those boundaries would come to BONC and potentially be implemented. The other piece that I was hearing clearly was that of the responsibility, whose responsibility it actually, where did that responsibility fall to notify the existing neighborhood councils that would then be affected by the subdivision. And what I was hearing during these processes was that it was the entity that was electing to subdivide. If that is actually the case, then it was leaving the other parts, one or more neighborhood councils, without the information of the process. And also the understanding that the neighborhood council that may have an area taken away, subdivided away from it, it seemed not clear to that larger neighborhood council, to that entity, that it was their responsibility to go back on a regular basis and check the website for any changes or any clarification during that process. Well, we were told that I think I'm on number four for my concerns here. Apparently information was available at the election, and yet many individuals testified that they didn't see a boundaries map or weren't given the information that they were seeking. So if something can be incorporated to make that whole process clearer, so that we're giving every stakeholder the same information and clarity of information, I think is very important. And also the responsibility for outreach to the NC or the NCs that are going to be affected. It seemed that clarity in that area was either lacking or wasn't as pristine to those who were involved in the process. So it's not necessarily the section that wants to subdivide, but those who are being affected by the subdivision. So those are my notes from the process we've been through and the things that I was hearing And in some way, I would hope that we can address these, see if there's something that people are missing during the process, and if, in fact, the entity that is subdividing is the one that's responsible for notifying the larger neighborhood council or councils. I would hope we could look at some more effective way of letting the larger council area know what is actually potentially happening within the process, while not hindering the opportunity for the process. That's it.
Okay.
Commissioner
Atkinson?
Commissioner Atkinson. So I was listening to your ideas, and I was listening to what the president has brought up about the board, the commission, seeing the bylaws and the subdivisions before elections, and if somehow we can combine the fact that if Bonk is going to see, you know, try to, you know, we're going to try to figure out a plan where they see the subdivisions and the bylaws before elections, that somehow that information can also be disseminated to the neighborhood council, to the neighborhood councils that are going to be affected. So, I mean, so what you're saying is not too different from what Lynn was saying, except you're more neighborhood council-oriented, which is good, and he was Bonk-oriented, but it's the same information. Both entities want to see the information ahead of time so we know what's going on, and then have to figure out a way to disseminate the information ahead of time. Now, it probably could still go on the website like it does, but better dissemination of the information to the neighborhood councils that say, look, this is where the info is and this is how you get it, and you'll get the boundaries for the neighborhood councils. But sometimes they didn't even know that where to go to get it. So ahead of time, we could share that information and get that out. And so I guess the subdivision ordinance, though, we have to, you know, get a committee together and, you know, write those suggestions up, because it does have to be passed by the city council, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Yes.
Commissioner Maggie Derrick-Heroes. On some of the information that Commissioner Debbie mentioned, I'm going to agree and disagree, because based on what I heard, some of the community members indicated, the residents indicated that they just went based on what they heard, and they didn't even bother to read some of the map, and they didn't know that there were some changes. So if you had 100%, there was about 100% people out of 10 people, it was 50-50. Some knew and some didn't, but some of them did mention that they didn't bother reading the information. So it sounds like the information was there, but some people just went word of mouth. So they felt like there was misinformation, but they didn't bother wanting to read the information.
Yeah, Commissioner Atkinson, again, I agree with that, but probably there needs to be a better communication. If some people knew and some people didn't, why did the people who didn't know didn't do it or didn't bother? I think there probably needs to be better communication, because I don't always get communications that I need from myself, and don't always go to their website, which I think is confusing. So sometimes I want some clear instructions on how to do something, and I think we ought to get it ahead of time, get it out to the folks. They can see the boundaries, they can see the subdivisions, and see who's responsible for getting the word out. But I agree that, you know, some people just don't.
They said it at the
meeting. Some people just don't see it, but some people honestly just probably didn't know where to go.
I will state something that technically what was stated at the election was correct, in that the only thing that was being voted on up and down was the subdivision, the new neighborhood council, because the way the ordinance is written, after that happens, it then becomes the responsibility of the commission to make a determination with regards to bylaws and boundaries. So even though there are proposed bylaws and boundaries, those are not the final ones. So technically, what was said to people at the election was correct, okay? But what the problem is that then we get down to the, would it have made a difference had we set or settled on a final, I see your hand, had we set upon a final, had the decision with regards to boundaries and bylaws been final before the election, would that have affected it? Would that have affected how people voted and such as that? So that's really the question we're looking at the present time. That's what we're looking at is, when does the decision by the commission get made? After the decision to allow the subdivision or before the decision? And perhaps what we've all been seeing is that the proper time would be before the actual vote on the subdivision, because then people who are voting have a thing that they know for certain where they are. But yes, that would have to be by ordinance. And would you like to say something now or after our next public comment?
No, I was just going to ask for a brief pause while the commissioner left the dais. But it's, we're all back.
We're all back. Oh, okay.
On a quorum.
Okay. You wanted to say one more thing.
From Arroyo Seco Neighborhood Council. What we were guinea pigs, both the downtown neighborhood council, the Skid Row, and Herman. We were guinea pigs because the ordinance really was kind of so wide open and open for interpretation by Dunn that they did what they thought was okay, but they let these groups kind of work on their own. Herman, I can speak to, because I can't speak to Skid Row. But Herman did their own thing, and we were kind of an afterthought. And they were so focused on doing this subdivision that no one thought about the effect on the rest of Arroyo Seco, particularly Monterey Hills, which is now isolated from the rest of Arroyo Seco. Okay? That's what happened. And we had a board member, a commissioner, say, why didn't we join with Monterey Hills? Well, if she really knew what happened, she would never have said that, because they never wanted Monterey Hills. They didn't want it. We wanted to be part of Herman. So don't get that story right anymore. Don't get it wrong. You said that last time.
Excuse me. Address the board, not individuals.
Okay. Well, I just heard it last time, but honestly, they never talked to us. So we were asked to vote on something, subdivision. That map, yeah, you were right. It was in the election hall. But the people didn't come because they said, well, if they want their own neighborhood council, let them have it. But once they heard that they were losing land, open land that could be developed and potentially change their property values, now they're like, wait a minute. No one told, and I took a lot of flack for that. They said, you never told us. You're the one that told us to come vote, and you never told us they were changing our boundaries. So I feel very personally about this, because I took the heat for Dunn on this one, from Monterey Hills. And you said to me, sir, why didn't they come to vote? Because they didn't know boundaries were changing.
Brief comment. Not a retort.
Not a retort. What I did mention at the meeting is that it is very interesting how Herman and Monterey Hills are very close to each other, and in order to be part of the Arroyo Seco Neighbor Council, you have to drive 50 minutes to get to a hill to be part of a neighbor council, when it makes more sense for Monterey Hills and Herman to combined, since it represents that area. Arroyo Seco represents the other side of the hill.
They're usually online. Okay. All right. We've moved on to number 12. Which is the funding. We had a brief discussion on that. We do have one card on that. Wayne, you want to come up and talk about funding?
Before I start, off-duty LAPD officer killed in Ventura County crash. Just happened on Los Angeles KCBS. That's a horrible loss. So, also on Fox 11 News, postal carrier in Glassell Park afraid to deliver mail due to gang violence. I'm really surprised nobody wanted to talk about that. Well, nobody cares. So, how much money should a council get? And I was watching the movie Bullworth, starring the great Warren Beatty, 1998. He said the Jews should get the most money. And he had a movie for an hour and a half. I'm kind of becoming convinced of that, actually. So I think that the money should be divided more in favor of people of Jewish descent. I think Encino should be doubled in the amount of money it gets. I think Tarzana should get 30% more. And the other lesser privileged areas should be slightly cut, about 10%. And I think in the scheme of things, I think that's the way our LA city operates. Oh, I just see we got another speaker. So, but again, the condolences to the lost officer. That all seriousness, that's horrible.
Yeah. Okay. As I was saying, I will now do something proper and get over to Dunn, and let's see if we can get a working group for funding set up and moving. I'll be calling upon what's left of our commission to contact the regions in their area and work with the department to choose people to, you know, as to self-volunteer for this. Okay.
How many do we get?
We had talked about, our motion was to get two from each region. That would be each election region. So we'd have a total of 24. So what we're going to need to do is set up and then have commissioners get out requests to the regions for volunteers to come in and talk about, you know, recommend funding, so the commission can make a recommendation with regards to that, to the powers that be. I did query the city attorney's office, and so far it appears it would be the city council that would probably have to make that decision, but I'm not certain. I want to get a little deeper into that rather than the department, see what the reasoning is, and if it has to be the city council, maybe we could get them to delegate that to somebody like the department. So there we go.
One more question then on that. Yeah. So if each commissioner finds two people from each from their regions, is there a uniform letter that we'll get together, and or do we all do our own thing?
Yeah, no, we'll do like we did with our other working groups. Yeah, we'll have a uniform notification. We'll get them all out. We'll say, hi, here's what we're looking for. You can self-nominate. Okay. Please do that and go from there. All right. I was going to say moving on, but I don't know, maybe not. Okay, I see. Number 13, discussion of possible action regarding Board of Commissioners newsletter. Unfortunately, Commissioner Lippman had to leave, and so there's no commissioner to report on that. We do have a speaker card, though. Mr. Hayes, you wanted to speak to our newsletter?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. I would suggest that in your newsletter, you alert the neighborhood council members of the kind of rights and privileges they have at their council meeting. My neighborhood council is Park Mesa, which is the most important neighborhood council in the entire city. Why? Because the Crenshaw train runs right through our neighborhood council. Now, the Crenshaw train is an enigma because it's not necessary. What it is a boondoggle for Walsh construction project. What it is actually is a training project for construction. It starts out as a subway. It comes up, it goes on the ground, that's called at grade. Then it does cut and cover. Then it goes over a bridge. And those are all the kinds of ways you can possibly construct a train. But it does not go to the airport. What goes to the airport and the same location it goes to is the Green Line. And the Green Line is 5 blocks away. But the Crenshaw Line is many, many miles. So what our concern is the fact that it's patterned itself on a portion as the nation's deadliest railroad. Now, you didn't know it, but the nation's deadliest railroad is the MTA Blue Line. Because they designate that based upon the length of the line and the number of fatalities and number of collisions. It's had 127 fatalities and more than 800 collisions, and it only goes 17 miles. So when the Crenshaw line is at grade as the Blue Line is, it goes past Crenshaw High School. It goes past another school, and then another school, and then the Institute for the Junior Blind is right up the hill. Now, we know how foolhardy children are, and every child at Crenshaw knows they can outrun that damn train. So it's just a recipe for death and casualties. But nevertheless, they put it at grade as the most sensitive area in the entire line, where it goes past schools with children. So anyway, we've been begging Neighborhood Council to bring our Neighborhood Council into order because it's totally out of whack. But we're not going to quarrel. We're not going to debate. We're not going to fight. What we're going to do is ask for the resignation of your director. And then she can pass the pain down the line to her colleagues. But if they did not know that if we have never, ever once had what we call public comment, not once have we ever had public comment. I've got in that bag two.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Thank you.
My time is up?
Your 3 minutes are up, sir.
Huh?
Your 3 minutes are up, sir. Thank you. Yes.
You had 3 minutes. They're up.
It says five here.
No, it's 3 minutes for public for comment unless you have
is that on here?
If you have multiple cards, you get a total of 5 minutes and you can speak at different times. Single card is a 3 minute time. Thank you.
Is it on here? Are those rules on here?
Yes, they are. They're part of that. If you read, you'll find them. Thank you. Okay, moving on to commission business. Anything on our own activities or brief announcements? I do have one if nobody else does. I did receive a letter, an email today from Commissioner Eve Sinclair. She has apparently taken a job with CD7. And as such, she cannot be a commissioner. Therefore, she has notified the mayor's office. Her term technically ran out on the 30th of June, and she's asked the mayor's office to withdraw her name from reappointment. So that was an email that I got from her this afternoon. I wanted to let the rest of the commission know about that.
So it looks like it's time to contact the mayor's office and say we need two commissioners quickly because we're down to five, and that's getting pretty scarce when it comes to agendas, quorums once in a while. Yeah, so there we go. Other comments by commissioners? Okay. We do have a comment card on item number three of this. Mr. Green, Dave Green, you wanted to say something with regards to Commissioner's introduction of new issues for consideration by the Commission in its next meeting, directing staff?
Sure, it seemed like the most appropriate place to do it. This is my first BONC meeting. Thank you for having me here. I was wondering if, as one of your agenda items, either in the past or in consideration of the future, going back to the subdivision issue, whether you were planning to discuss the Skid Row subdivision election. Since I'm here, the Eagle Rock Neighborhood Council wrote a letter to the city, copied all you guys on it, about the conduct and the result of the election challenge panel. I was the chair of that panel for all 5 hours of it. I was also the chair of, I'm pretty sure, every election challenge panel for the 2016 elections. One issue that I noticed in the regular election challenge panels that came up repeatedly was that the regulations that applied to the election challenges were not completely written while the challenges were happening. In the case of the first challenge panel, the rules were rewritten, and then the first challenge panel had to be redone because some of the boilerplate that was copied over from some other regulation wasn't fully copied over. Same thing happened to a degree with the Skid Row thing, where the regulations were being interpreted as the panel was going on, and certain parts weren't built into it. And it seems like BONC, being at once part of the neighborhood council firmament and apart from it, perhaps could take that role of vetting those regulations before the next elections roll around, and the next subdivision elections roll around. And it would serve two purposes. If perhaps you had a meeting dedicated to it, or forum dedicated to it, or became, you know, took on a more robust role with that kind of thing. Number one, you get more people in the seats, because people would be very interested in that. Number two, it seems like there needs to be some sort of arbiter between and among the city attorney and Dunn when it comes to that kind of stuff, because I found myself, as I'm running these meetings, having to step out of my comfort zone and start talking to the city attorney or the Dunn representative across the room, and ask them what the regulations mean, because the regulations don't say what they mean, and have them either interpret it in the room, or, as in the case of the Skid Row decision, interpret it entirely after the fact, and interpret it, if you've read the decision, I'm sure you have, and if you've read the Eagle Rock Neighborhood Council's letter, which was a group effort, as I'm sure you have, the decision that was ultimately resulted about that election challenge panel essentially said that the election challenge panel did not have to have happened, because in the end it is Dunn's decision about what happens. So the panel followed the rules as written. Dunn said, well, we don't, in our opinion, that does not meet the standard, so we have changed, or we don't accept it. It seems to me that you guys can either do a post-mortem on that or spin it so that it is ironing out the wrinkles before the next time around, because it's going to happen again. It happened 5 times in a row for me. That's it.
I have a card for Mr. Hayes, but I'm not sure what item he wishes to speak to. I'm not sure what item you wish to speak to. I can't read. What item on the agenda do you wish to speak to? You want to speak to 14. Okay. Come ahead. We were just discussing 14. The last speaker discussed 14.
How much time do I have?
Well, it's multiple items, but I'll tell you what. You use three. I'll give you 2 minutes if you want on this one.
This is a wireless microphone. I've got two. I provided two of these for my neighborhood council. They don't record their council meetings, and they will not utilize these microphones. So as a consequence, people are sitting in the audience, as these people are, and they're speaking on the agenda items from the audience. I have bad hearing, so you can't. I'm an exception for never hearing what they have to say. But they don't record their meetings either. I've made every opportunity to try to give them the utilization of my tape recorders, reel to reel, as well as digital. They will not utilize that. The previous secretary left and took her tapes and her machinery and her sound equipment with her. So we have no record of the history of Park Mesa, and it will not allow the public to say anything. Now, they operate under the Robert's Rules of Order, so they should adjourn by a vote. I don't know how you adjourn, but perhaps you adjourn the same manner. The chairman simply says, meeting adjourned, and it's over. But as I understand Robert's Rules, there has to be a motion to adjourn and then a vote on it. Nevertheless, as I said before, we're not concerned about the madness taking place at the hands of the people who operate that neighborhood council. We're going to point out that since we've had a representative from the neighborhood council at our last five meetings, only because I've been downtown seven times, at our last five meetings, and if he did not pick up on it, I blame his director for that. Thank you.
Okay. It appears we have come to the end of our agenda. Per Mr. Hayes' recommendation, do we have a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Motion has been made by Commissioner Atkinson, seconded by both Commissioner Webby and Commissioner Quiroz.
Yes.
Any objection to us adjourning? No objection. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Oh, I have the keys.
No, where's the sound guy?
Oh, in the room with this.
On to item.
We're gonna lock up anyway, so I might have to lock up. I think.